Welcome to Ankh Live on Air. I'm your host today, Jax DiEugenio. In today's episode, supported by Bristol-Myers Squibb, we had the pleasure of speaking with Jorge Cortez, MD, the director of the Georgia Cancer Center in Augusta, Georgia, about the integration of luspatercept AAMT into the treatment paradigm for patients with lower-risk myelodysplastic syndromes. In our interview, Dr. Cortez discussed how the FDA approval of this agent has influenced first-line MDS management, particularly for patients with anemia, and how luspatercept compares with existing treatment options like erythropoiesis-stimulating agents. He also highlighted the quality of life benefits associated with luspatercept in symptomatic patients, the importance of risk stratification in lower-risk MDS, and the ultimate goal of therapy in this population. Finally, he spotlighted the challenges that remain in the management of lower-risk MDS, including the need for transformative therapies that could change the natural history of the disease. How has the first-line approval of luspatercept affected the treatment paradigm for patients with lower-risk MDS?
I think it's very valuable. I mean, these patients with low-risk MDS, their main problem frequently is anemia, and with that, all the symptoms that go with that, and so on. Our options that we've had historically have been limited. If they have five Q minus, certainly we know that's lenalidomide or Revlimid, those work well. If they don't have five Q minus, some patients respond, but it's not as good. It's not as durable. You have erythropoiesis stimulating agents. Let me use them. But in this context, you have a much better response to the luspatercept. So I think that changes the main problem that these patients have. Again, they have anemia. With anemia, you feel fatigue. You cannot do your activities of daily living. Sometimes there's mental fogginess. All these kind of things that affect the quality of life of the patients. So it becomes critical to have something that's more effective. And the difference compared to erythropoiesis-stimulating agents was quite significant.
What has been observed regarding quality of life with luspatercept versus ESAs in the first-line setting?
The important thing here is that the low hemoglobin is not just a number. It's just a value that you're trying to improve. Anemic patients feel it. They are more tired. They're unable to take care of themselves, take care of others. In addition, very frequently, these are older patients where all of these issues are amplified, and they may even put them at risk of other problems. If you're anemic and you have risk of heart attacks and things like that, well, it also may increase your risk of developing one of these complications. We need to think about this as improving the overall health of the patient and definitely the quality of life of the patient. It's not just the hemoglobin went from 9 to 10. So if that's all, well, then, it doesn't have the impact. But I think in this case, the impact is a lot more significant, and particularly when you're talking about a drug that is very well tolerated. So you're not exchanging one symptom for another. You are really providing mostly benefit.
What factors influence risk stratification in these lower-risk patients?
Well, we always need to look at the other factors, mutations in other genes, the cytogenetics, and so on. That's part of what goes into classifying them into low risk. Now, in terms of the anemia itself, you also need to see how symptomatic it is and all these other elements. So all of these factors need to go into the equation as to, number one, defining that they are low risk. Not all the low-risk patients are anemic. Sometimes they're low risk and there's nothing, this is not the patient for luspatercept. And then also make sure that you assess these other elements, as I mentioned, the mutations, the cytogenetics, because that also determines the probability that these would transform or progress to a higher risk, requiring other interventions besides the management of just the anemia.
What are the ultimate treatment goals when selecting a therapy for patients with lower risk MDS?
Again, these patients tend to be symptomatic. At least those are the patients that you worry about managing their anemia. That's what you want to address in these patients. You want to make sure that the patients certainly, we talked about tolerating the drug, but also that they feel better. They're able to do their daily activities, whether they are living by themselves and then they take care of themselves, or they're, living with others and they may just want to enjoy life, and which is fine. You know, that's very good. We all do. We need to be clear. This is not a curative approach, and we don't have curative strategies for MDS other than transplant, but that's not what you're thinking about with a low-risk MDS. You're not thinking about transplant. So the main goal for the low-risk is improve your symptoms and improve the quality of life. In the high-risk patients, they're closer to progression, so you want to stop or slow down the risk of progression.
And what are some challenges that still need to be addressed for these patients?
Main challenge, I just briefly talked about cure, and this disease eventually will progress and can be fatal. So obviously, we need to focus on how can we change the natural history of the disease on these patients. Transplant, of course, but the transplant is very invasive, and it's not available for many patients, particularly many patients with MDS who tend to be older and so on. So I still think that although we have some good treatments and some good developments, we're still lacking a transformative therapy, a transformative approach that can be accessible to most of the patients who need it, that would really eradicate the disease and provide that cure that's been so elusive. So that's our big challenge.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air, supported by Bristol Myers Squibb. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates on oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at Enclave. On Facebook, like us at Enclave and follow our Enclave page on Instagram. If you like today's episode of Enclave on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thank you again for listening to Enclave on Air.